I do believe that Terry would have at least attempted to run through a brick wall if that's what would have been necessary for us to allow him to be here this morning. He really wanted to be here with you. It took quite a lot of convincing for him to understand the best course of action for him is to be at home and to rest and to recover and get better. And we'll certainly look forward to him being back with us. And I know they're watching on the live stream this morning, so Michelle, you're welcome. I know that that was certainly on her brain. But I also will tell you that the greatest sermon that you will hear today has already been delivered. Johnny, thank you so much. These words touch us, truly, if we only really understood how much God loves us. Amazing, really. I'm reminded of several years ago, it was probably 10 or 12 years ago, I got a call at about 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning from J.T. Harrison, who was the preacher at Central at the time. And I only knew it was him because of the caller ID, because his voice was really weak and scratchy and he was so sick he couldn't get out of the bed. And if you know JT, just kind of like Terry, you know, JT has preached at Central with pneumonia before. And so he couldn't get out of the bed. And so 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, he said, I need you to teach my class and to, you know, preach the sermon today. And we survived that day. And I learned some valuable lessons on that day. Brother Ralph Irwin, one of the men who was an elder at the time, one of the greatest men I've ever known, he gave me two truths in that day, two pieces, nuggets of information that I have always kept with me. Number one, he said that you should always have a sermon in your back pocket. You just never know, you know, what might happen. The second thing he told me was after the sermon, because the sermon that I had in my back pocket that day was 42 minutes long. And he said to me that a sermon, he said, always remember this, Georgie, a sermon does not have to be eternal to be effective. And so, ironically, I bring to you a sermon from my back pocket this morning that has 10 points. But it will not be eternal, I promise you. I'm always amazed at the little objects, the little things in our lives that can teach us so many lessons. I like object lessons. I remember when Terry and other of our friends used to teach at Mobile Christian, they would have like object lesson Tuesday, and the kids would come in and they would bring some object and they'd try to develop or have some discussion about something spiritual based on these objects. And we can see objects in our everyday lives, and, you know, we've made application. I remember years ago, Jeff brought a tackle box up here. Remember that? If you were here a long time ago, and he started talking about spiritual applications to pulling lures out of a tackle box, and he pulled a mouse lure out, and he said, what in the world kind of fish do you catch with that? And somebody in the audience said, a catfish, you know. So there are a lot of object lessons, a lot of great things that we can learn from objects. Well, I've got some objects today. Anybody know what these are? If it was just one of them, we'd say it's a hacky sack, right? That's what we do. We kick it around. But if you got three of them, what does that make it? Juggling balls. Juggling balls. Now, this is not going to turn into a circus today. But these are juggling balls. And you know, we can actually learn things that we can use in our spiritual lives from juggling balls. 10, actually. It's probably more. But again, we want it effective and not eternal. So what are some of the things that we can learn, that we can apply in our everyday lives, that we can use in our walk with God from juggling balls? Well, number one this morning, I taught this lesson to the JYG class one time, and I asked them how many people could juggle. Well, nobody raised their hands. How many people here can juggle? Raise your hand if you feel like you can juggle all right. Okay, not many. So if I said to Bill this morning, who didn't raise his hand, maybe because he's, you know, but if you can't juggle, and I ask you to teach a class on juggling, you're probably not going to be a very good teacher of a juggling class. Is that right? Yeah, well, if it's at 8 o'clock in the morning, you're going to do it at 11. The first lesson for us all to understand in our spiritual lives is we cannot teach what we do not know. We talked in our Bible class this morning about the idea of having confidence, and it was brought up how that we get shy about sharing our faith because sometimes we don't know how to answer people. We're not confident, as the Scripture says, about the hope that we have within us, and we don't know how to share that with people. And that's understandable. In any area of life, we don't like to speak things of which we don't know, and we definitely don't like to hear things from other people talking about things we know that they don't know what they're talking about. So as Christians, as ministers, as we all are, as those that are charged with the greatest responsibility of any humans on planet Earth, and that's to share the message of Christ, to share our faith, to tell the greatest story ever told, how can I possibly do that if I don't know the story? How can I answer the question of why it's necessary for me to come in contact with the blood of Christ to have my sins washed away? And if I can't explain why I believe that or why that God requires that of me and how I come in contact with that blood, how can I be an ambassador for Christ? How can I be a reflection of Christ in my everyday life? And I guess you can turn that a little bit and say, we're all some kind of reflection of Christ. We're painting a picture of Christ by the way we live our lives every day. The question for each of us that we must examine our lives and ask ourselves, what kind of picture am I painting of my Savior? Of the one who loved us so much? I can't teach something I don't know. Number two this morning, it's great that we're all different. You know, how many people go bow hunting, for example? Anybody bow hunters here? There's one back there. I know there's a few, right? I don't care anything about bow hunting. Maybe because I've just never been a hunter, but it's cool. I could say fisherman. I could say how many people can make a quilt. How many people like to curl up with and read a good book. You know, you go on and on and on. And our tastes and our characters are different. The things that we like and dislike. We're all different, but that's okay. We all understand that we don't want a bunch of copies of ourselves running around. That'd be terrible. We're all different. And being able to do something that is different, whether it's juggling or something else, is of great value. So I said, I don't know what I can do for the kingdom. I don't. Everybody has something that they can do, great and small, all part of the body. We're going to talk about this in just a few minutes about the talents that we have. But number three, one of the things we have to understand, whether it's this, is to be good at it, we have to practice. When I was 12 years old, we had just moved to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Didn't have any friends. I was a country boy from Alabama up in the north, and it was freezing cold. I'd never really been exposed to that. And I was just kind of a loner at the time, so I know it's hard to imagine that. But one day I took a tennis ball and a baseball and a softball because I saw somebody on TV juggling. And I thought it was the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I went out in the backyard, had no clue. No clue. I didn't have YouTube back then. So I couldn't, you know, teach myself that way. I remembered kind of what they did and I understood the mechanics of it. And I looked like a newborn giraffe for the first 3 or 4 hours. You know, I could barely stand up. But over time, probably 30 or 40 hours of, like, me in the backyard doing my own thing, I taught myself how to juggle. It's a concept that we all understand very well. It's nothing new to us. In any area of our lives, whatever we want to attain, whatever we want to be good at, we've got to practice. If it's a sport, if it's something on our jobs, the knowledge that we need to attain, the experience that we need to have a proficiency in our skill, it has to come with repetition. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 that Taylor read. It says that, another version says, be diligent. Be diligent to study God's Word, right? So that we can show ourselves a worker that's not ashamed. You know, in a lot of ways, I kind of attribute that to like a carpenter, for example. There's plenty of people who know me that it can attest that I've always got it backwards. You know, you're supposed to measure twice and cut once, and I don't do that. I'm not really good at that. And so you would not hire me to come be your finished carpenter or any kind of carpenter to put anything up. But let's say that you did. If you were that crazy and you hired me to come do some carpentry project at your house, I'm probably not going to be proud of the work that I put out. And you're probably not going to be proud of it either or willing to pay me. Why? Because it's not a skill that I have. It's not that I'm not invested myself into it. I haven't learned about it. I haven't done it enough to become proficient at it. See, sometimes I think in our spiritual lives, we feel like that we can do the osmosis thing with God's Word. And if I push hard enough, and if I sit in the same seat every Sunday, and I listen to Terry teach us and preach to us, that I'll get what I need. That's not proficiency. That's attendance. That's participation. As God's children, we're called to be different from the world. In order to teach what those differences are, we have to be in God's Word. We've got to practice. You know, a lot of little sayings that we have, right? We have to practice what we preach. Jimmy was talking about in his life, you know, he was a Christian and he was practicing his Christianity. And I think that's an appropriate term. You know, we are taking our beliefs and putting them into action. And the more that we do it, the easier it becomes. The more immune I become to the arrows that come from Satan. The stronger I become in defense of the temptations that come my way. I become stronger. I become better to the glory of God. But magically, it doesn't happen. Again, we understand that in every other area of our lives. To be good, we have to practice. Number four, we do all have talents. We have a lot of talents. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." We're all a part of this collective, as I talked about this morning. We're all part of the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, together. In this body, I don't want anything that's dead. Right? You? I don't want anything on me or in me that's not alive. Why? Because if I am infected with something that is not alive, then what does it do? It grows. Even though it's not alive. Death can grow within me. In the body of Christ, we are in this together and we need the body to be alive in Christ. And it does not matter which of the talents that you're putting to use to the glory of God. What really matters is that you're putting it to use. That I'm putting it to use. Now, in juggling, there probably wouldn't have been anything wrong. Nothing bad would have come of you never knowing that I can juggle. But in our spiritual lives, it's detrimental to the body. It's harmful to the body. when we have talents and we bury them. That's not George. That's Jesus talking. You know, it's not a wasted talent either, number six. All right, let me back up. I missed one. Number five. This is not as hard as you think it is. It's really not. I mean, I'm living proof. I can do it. It's not that hard. What it takes is, number one, a desire, a decision, and a little bit of dedication. I have to desire to want to learn this cute little skill that's really good at parties. Right? I have to make a decision that I'm going to do it. I've decided I'm going to learn how to juggle. I was 12 years old. I said, I'm going to learn. And then I got to dedicate myself to make sure that I can accomplish that I've set out to do. The same thing is true in our spiritual life. If I want to be what God wants me to be and needs me to be and commands me to be, then I have to have that, number one, a desire to do that. I've got to decide that I'm going to do it, and then I have to dedicate myself to the work. And by the way, it's not as hard as you think. This morning it was said so well in our Bible class about the thing that hampers our confidence many times is this fear that we're not going to be good enough, that we're not going to be able to get there, we're not going to be able to do the right things, we're not going to be able to say the right things, and that we're not going to be what God needs us to be. It's true. We're not going to be. That's why when Brother Johnny was praying for us before we took of the cup, we understood that when we partake of that cup today, it's continuing to wash my sins away, even today. If I could get there, if I could attain, then what I'm doing is diluting the value of the sacrifice that Christ made. And God forbid we ever talk like that and act like that and think like that. What we need to do is to be saved. And then we need to act saved. We've got the most incredible gift, blessing, by someone who loves us more than we know. And because of that, and because of our obedience to that gospel, we receive a thing we like to call grace. Grace is that thing that gives me confidence and reassures me that it's not as hard as I think. Number six, it's not a wasted talent. As I said, you know, if you need to quiet down a child that's too preoccupied with other things, or you need to fill in at a party, or if there's a pop-up talent show that comes about, yeah, maybe juggling works. It's not wasted. I've been able to use it. You know, the good thing about juggling is once you understand how to do it, I don't recommend it with like fire and knives and things like that, but you can grab kind of three of anything and somehow try to juggle them. It's kind of a cool thing. Spiritually speaking, being proficient in our faith, being proficient in the knowledge of God's Word is not wasted. Is not wasted. Here's why. Above all things, even if we're not evangelists, even if we're not the guys like the guy at Walmart that, you know, stands in the grass with a speaker and then blasts it to everybody in the parking lot, we're not talking about that guy. We're talking somebody who's so confident because of what Christ did for us that we live a life of joy and of service. And everywhere we go, people don't question who we belong to. They know who we belong to. And we paint the picture of Christ as it should be painted. Not perfectly. We can't do that. But we can be so overjoyed by our salvation that we can show people how to handle the difficulties that arise in their lives in ways they'd never imagined. I've seen you do it. I've seen you do it in funeral homes. in the grief that people deal with. The Christian who is grounded stands strong. Their heart is broken. Yes, they have anxiety and they have hurt, but they have faith and they have confidence in their God, and they realize that this is just temporary. And what we show people who are outside the body of Christ is hope. Something that really and truly they falsely divined and don't know anything about. We show them what true hope is all about. That no matter what we face in this life, we're going to be able to overcome it because we stand on a solid foundation of Jesus Christ and not our own. Number 7, interesting thing about juggling is, I mean, we probably all know a handful of people who have juggled a little bit, but not a lot of people do this. I mean, there was only a couple of you that raised your hands. There's probably a couple of closet jugglers in here that didn't want to, you know, volunteer that, yeah, I juggle, you know. But the reality of it is, true believers, it's sad, but it's true. Not many people are going to do it. Not many people will do it, will dedicate themselves to it. In this world today, we're pushing towards 8 billion people very quickly. Just a few years ago, the last census that I had read about, I don't know how true it was, said that in the Lord's church that we had 2.5 to 2.8 million people in the Lord's church. 8 billion. The reality of it is, we piggyback what Johnny said earlier, if we just really understood how much God loves us, number one, and number two, if we just really understood how completely blessed we are in this moment, in this place and time, today. There's no way to adequately describe it, really, if you think about it, if you allow yourself to think in the big picture, in the grand scheme of things. You may go to a restaurant here in a few minutes, and you're going to sit around a couple of hundred people who many of those, if their soul were required of them this night, they'd be very disappointed probably. It's not a wasted talent. You got to know it to teach it. It's within us all, and we are above all people most blessed. Number 8. I feel good that I can juggle, by the way. I mean, I'm not boastful about it. I'm not great at it. But I like the fact that I can juggle. You know? I don't know that I've ever been in a room and say, anybody here juggle? I go, yes, that's me. You know, it's not that. It doesn't come up that often. But I like the idea that I can juggle. It feels good to be able to do something very well, you know, no matter what it is. If you're really good at something, that feels pretty good when you do it. Have you ever studied with someone and they said to you, I got to be baptized right now? Or have you ever studied with someone and you knew that they knew, and at some point they made that ultimate decision? I've had a lot of good feelings in my life, right? I've had a lot of great moments. Mary and Sam, holding my grandbabies. It just, you know, the rededication of my father to Christ in the last weeks of his life. I've had a lot of great moments in my life. But I think we have to really step back and understand the magnitude of what happens in the moment when we raise this screen up and the doors are open and someone is baptized into Christ. It's incredible. It's incredible. There's not a thing right now that there's a parent in this room would want more for their child than to make sure that they do that. That's the greatest moment. It feels good to be a part of something so good. Number 9, almost there, y'all. I'm thinking about Brother Ralph right now. Sometimes we need some help, don't we? Sometimes we need some help. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." I did have to have some help to kind of learn this. I had to watch somebody do it. I did ask some questions. When I was doing the JYG class, they all got a chance to throw the balls all over. And so I got to help them. And it was really cool. It was kind of fulfilling because a couple of them picked up on it. It made me kind of mad, if you want to be 100% truthful with you, because they picked up in minutes. It took me hours and hours and hours, and some of them were really just... Sometimes we need some help to do the things that we, you know, to accomplish the things that we need to. In the church, it's the same way. We bear one another's burdens, as Paul said to the church in Galatia. Also, think about this. I love this verse, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." We make each other better. We challenge one another in our spiritual walk. We hold each other accountable, or I hope we do. We should hold each other accountable. I want to be held accountable for my shortcomings and my weaknesses. Because I already know what they are. You already know if you have shortcomings, what they might be. But when someone else brings it to your attention, if you're like me, you don't like that at all. I don't want it brought to my attention because I'm exposed at that point. And actually, I want to eliminate those exposures in my life. Best way for me to do that to get right. Get ready. To be ready. Someone said one time, church folks need to be ready so they don't have to get ready. But sometimes we need help. Lastly this morning, number 10. This is fun when you do it with someone else. A lot of times, a lot of things we do that even if we're good at, you know, experiences that we have them by ourselves. It just doesn't. I remember one time I was in the paintball business. This was years ago. I took a trip to Amsterdam. I was selling our product to a guy in Norway. He said, "It's too cold in Norway. Come to Amsterdam. We'll meet there." I said, "Okay." So we did our little meeting, got our order, and that was about 2 hours worth of work. And I had another day and a half before I flew home. Well, I'm walking around Amsterdam by myself looking at all of this architecture. It's amazing. And I'm going, "Isn't this amazing?" By myself. It wasn't very fun. This is pretty cool when you do it with somebody else. It's a lot of fun to kind of share that with people and teach them or be a part. And there are a lot of things you can do together. We're much better as jugglers doing it together than I am by myself. There are a lot of words that we can use to describe our fellowship together. It's profitable, you know, but it's also fun. FYI, that's okay. That's a Church of Christ approved term. This is serious, but what we do together in serving God is fun. We have developed this culture, even within our congregations, especially with our young people. The dynamic and the percentage of fun activities that now have to be involved to keep people sometimes involved is sad, really. We are, if you want to call it, in competition. We are competing against those religious organizations who make as their side note the idea of entertaining their audience to grow their numbers And I think, you know, being truthful, I think in their hearts they really want them to grow closer to God. But I can promise you, at the Azalea City Church of Christ, the draw, the hook, is Jesus Christ. It's not a program. It's not a preacher. It's not an elder. It's not a pew color. It's not a paint scheme. It's not a facility. It's Jesus Christ. And being a part of that is a blast. Can you imagine why someone would choose not to want to be a part of the Lord's church? Especially when they stop long enough to understand the scoreboard at the end of the game. Jesus wins at the end of the game. Jesus wins. Who wants to be on His team? Simple as that. There are a lot of lessons that we can make from juggling balls or a thousand other things. You know what the core theme behind this silly application lesson today is? We got to be a part. We got to be a part. No matter where you're at spiritually, the mentality of us doing more, I think that's biblical. As Justin taught us some months ago, one is always greater than zero. Wherever I'm at now, I need to grow and I need to do more. I need to be involved more. I'll tell you, it was mentioned in class, so much of our class was so profound by the audience and not the teacher, I promise you. But they mentioned how special this place is because of the love that grows here and just manifests here and just explodes here, blossoms here, and it's noticeable in the community what exists at this place. And as long as we're doing it all to the glory of God, this is a good thing. This morning, I'm really just going to ask you to consider your own situation, your own life. Because the reality is that you won't have to answer for mine, nor me for yours. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day and give an account of the things that we've done and said, not done and not said. Where are you today? I mean, the fundamental question, obviously, is, are you in the body of Christ? Do you have access to His grace? If you have not, and you are not, then you just need to. You should. You should. And if you want to know why, ask me. Or ask anybody sitting around you, because you're surrounded by godly people, I promise you. This morning, if you are a member of God's forever family and, you know, maybe you've lost touch with how much God loves you and has demonstrated that love to you, or that you have these inklings to do more, but you just haven't done it, and you recognize that stands between you and God, and you don't want anything to stand between you and God. Man, let's not let that continue to grow as a wedge between you and your Heavenly Father. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I love you guys. Thank you for your attention this morning. If there's anything we can help you with, we just ask that you make it known right now as together we stand and sing.